Greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The message today I am going to speak on is taken from John chapter 6. John chapter 6. And the topic is, what are you laboring for? What are you working excessively for? That's what it means. To labor means to walk, to labor excessively or to work excessively. Now, I came from a non-Christian home. My parents worship idols, worship their ancestors, and they worship their Chinese gods. And the whole purpose of their worshiping was for material prosperity and for protection, for preservation, for good health. That's what many Chinese families in Singapore do. And all this, of course, for the good of the family. So they think that they are getting through their worship. So during festive seasons, what my parents would do would be to slaughter animals, ducks, chicken, and so forth, and they will offer these to their gods. The whole purpose is to appease their gods, and the whole purpose is also, of course, to win the favors of their gods. But friends, today, sad to say, we see many so-called Christians, people who profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, doing the same thing when they go to churches. Yes? They want to win favors from the God that they worship. Now, these churches, of course, preach a false gospel, a gospel that promises health and wealth. And these worshippers who go, as we said, they want material prosperity, or they want good health, they want good strength. But friends, the gospel that is preached in such churches is a false gospel. A relative of mine went to such a church for that purpose. And for a time, his business prospered. And while his business prospered, of course, he identified himself as a believer in Jesus. He professed to be a believer. And then his business failed. His business flopped and he lost his prosperity. Now, what was the result when he lost his prosperity? When he lost his prosperity, of course, he gave up believing in the Jesus that was preached in that church. Now, the Jesus that was preached in that church, of course, is not the Jesus of the Bible. But my relative used to believe in that Jesus, and when his business collapsed, that's it. He gave up that Jesus. Now, lots of Jews, during the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth, were actually no different. They also sought the Lord for the wrong reasons. They were not interested in spiritual things, as we said previously. They were more interested in material things. They wanted a political, social, political Messiah who would be able to lead them to fight against the Romans and who would be able to feed their stomachs. And so, when they realized that the kingdom that the Lord Jesus Christ was preaching was not a political, social kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom, they gave up following the Lord Jesus. And so we read this in John chapter 6. If you look at John chapter 6, see what happened. Yes, when they realized God's kingdom is not the kingdom Jesus was preaching was not a political, social, material kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom. Look, see what happened. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They no longer walked with him. But listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says in his teaching. Look at John chapter 6, verse 27. The Lord says, "Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed." Yes, this is the meat that we should be laboring for, the meat that endureth unto everlasting life that does not perish. Now look at the passage, 22 to 27. I read for you, John 6, 22 to 27. "The day following, when the people which stood on the other side of the sea saw that there was none other boat there, except the one whereinto his disciples were entered, and that Jesus went not with his disciples into the boat, but that his disciples were gone away alone." Now the day following, which day? The day following the day on which the Lord Jesus Christ performed his miracle of feeding the 5,000. Yes, when the people who stood on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, you see, if you imagine the Sea of Galilee, it's heart-shaped, and this was where the miracle was performed, the feeding of the 5,000 on the northeastern coast of the Sea of Galilee. They were there that day, and when they saw that the Lord Jesus Christ, or saw that there was only one boat, or they realized that on that day there was just only one boat, and then on the day following, they could not see the boat. The Lord Jesus Christ was no longer there, and the disciples were no longer there. All right? And they realized that the disciples had entered into this boat and had gone off because the Lord Jesus Christ had sent them off. And the disciples actually were trying to travel from this part of the Sea of Galilee to this part, from the place near Bethsaida to the village of Capernaum. All right, if you can imagine a heart shape, northeast to northwest. All right, then you get it right. Now, verse 24. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, they thought that Jesus was still there because the Lord had only sent his disciples ahead. So they thought that the Lord Jesus Christ was still there at the place where he performed the miracle of feeding the 5,000. Neither his disciples were there. They also took shipping and came to Capernaum. So they also went northwest to Capernaum to seek for Jesus. Verse 25. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? When did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Verse 27, the verse that I want to speak on today. Labor not for the meat which perishes, the Lord says, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. The incident, as we said, took place after the feeding of the 5,000, a day after the feeding of the 5,000. So many of them came to the village of Capernaum seeking for Jesus, and when they saw Jesus, they said, Rabbi, when did you come here? Now, as I said, the night before, the Lord sent his disciples ahead of him, and the disciples went ahead of him, but he himself retreated to a place to pray unto his heavenly Father. But the disciples were finding it hard to row the boat because there was a storm on the Sea of Galilee. They rowed for something like 5 kilometers or so. And the Lord Jesus Christ then caught up with them. He walked on the sea and caught up with them, and he went into the boat where the disciples were. And immediately, the word of God in the Gospel of John tells us that immediately the boat landed at shore. They arrived at the village of Capernaum. And then the next day, this big crowd came to the village of Capernaum, and they sought him. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew what was in their heart. And so he said unto them in verse 26, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. There were those who were filled with curiosity. That's why they came and sought the Lord. Others sought him because they wanted to see more of his miracles. Then there were yet others who saw him because they were fed the previous day and they wanted to continue to be fed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, of course, among them who came, there were many who were very, very interested in having a social political Messiah, one who could lead them fight against the Romans, one who could feed their stomachs. And so they wanted to take the Lord Jesus Christ by force and to make him king. But the Lord said this to them in verse 27. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. Now in this verse, I'd like us to see three things this morning. Number one, something the Lord Jesus Christ forbade. Number two, something he commanded. And number three, something he promised. So three things, something he forbade. Number two, something he commanded. Number three, something he promised. Now look at the something that he forbade. He says, labor not for the meat that perish. So what did he forbid? My dear friends, he forbade the laboring of the meat that perishes. Now, friends, when God forbids, we must take heed. Take heed to his forbidding. Now, if we don't take heed, we do so to our own peril. In the Garden of Eden, you remember, the one true living God forbade our first parents to partake of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, if they took heed, and if they obeyed the one true living God, then the consequence would have been excellent. They would have attained everlasting life. But friends, they did not take heed. They disobeyed, and the consequence was disastrous. They sinned, and as a result of the sin, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and then death is passed upon all men. Now that was the disastrous consequence of not taking heed to what is forbidden by the one true living God. Then God gives us his Ten Commandments. Yes, the Ten Commandments are for what purpose? They are meant to protect us, meant to preserve us. They are meant to be for our good. And what do they consist of? The Ten Commandments, of course, consist of thou shalt not upon thou shalt not upon thou shalt not. It's one thou shalt not after another thou shalt not. Yes, they forbid us to go after other gods. They forbid us to take the name of the Lord God in vain. They forbid us to commit murder. They forbid us to commit adultery, to lie, to steal, to be covetous. My dear friends, if we do not take heed of these forbiddings given by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, my dear friends, we do so to our own peril. You take, for example, the breaking of the seventh commandment, which says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Adultery is forbidden by the one true living God. A man commits adultery, and when his wife discovers that he has committed adultery, but the consequence could be disastrous. The marriage might very well break up, and the man, because of his extramarital affairs, could contract sexually transmitted diseases, and he passed them to his wife, and he passes them to his children. The consequences could be very tragic indeed. Let us take heed, my dear friends. When the Lord forbids, let us take heed. And what does he forbid here? He forbids the laboring for the meat that perishes. And so he says, labor not for the meat that perishes. Now let us understand that this meat that perishes here need not be something that is bad. It could be good, because this meat could be something, of course it's temporal, but it is something that we require for our life on this earth. For example, our work. Our work is our meat. Yes, we need to work. We need to live. So, friends, this meat need not necessarily be bad. But at the end of the day, this meat is going to perish. It is only temporal. So what the Lord is forbidding us is to labor for the meat that perishes. Now, let us also understand that the two words, labor not, do not mean absolutely not working. Some people say labor not means, okay, I don't work at all. No, that's not what it means. The labor not here do not mean absolutely not working. The Word of God does not advocate laziness. If a man is lazy and he refuses to work, the Word of God is very, very clear. It says, so shall he not eat. If you don't labor, you are lazy, you will not eat. So in our work for our employers, let us see to it that we are not lazy, that we give a fair day's work for a fair day's pay, and make sure that through our work, we may be able to glorify the name of the Lord. Now what is actually forbidden when the Lord says, labor not for the meat that perishes, is to labor excessively for them, for it or for them. Now that is the thing that is forbidden, laboring excessively. We are to labor, but we are not to labor out of proportion compared to laboring for things that are more important in life. Spiritual things, things that count for eternity. My dear friends, if we labor excessively for the meat that perishes, the temporal things, my dear friends, you know what's going to happen? We are surely going to neglect our spiritual needs. You focus on the things of the world, temporal things, needful though they may be. My dear friends, we are surely going to neglect our spiritual needs. We'll neglect praying, for sure. We'll neglect reading God's word. We will neglect fellowshipping with fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, something that is very, very necessary. We all need to fellowship with one another, to encourage one another in the faith, to provoke unto love and unto good works. We need to fellowship with one another. And friends, if we labor excessively for the meat that perishes, we are surely going to neglect to give our Lord our very, very best on the Lord's Day when we come here to worship Him. Our bodies could be here, but because our focus, our laboring has been on the meat that perishes, my dear friends, you could be here bodily, but your mind could be somewhere else. Your mind could be focused on the meat that perishes. So you will not be giving the Lord your very, very best. That's why the Lord says, labor not for the meat that perishes. Now, what is this meat that perishes which are forbidden by the Lord for us to excessively labor for? What is this meat? Now, this meat does not refer to only food. The followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who came and sought Him by the Sea of Galilee, followed Him for this meat that perishes. They were laboring for food. They want to have food, so they followed Him. But this meat here does not necessarily refer only to food. Now, this meat, broadly speaking, all right, listen, this meat, broadly speaking, refers to anything that satisfies our temporal wants. Anything that satisfies our temporal wants. This is the meat that is spoken of here. It could be legitimate, as we said, or it could be illegitimate. Now, the meat that we are going after could be the height of the corporate ladder. So I ask you, are you laboring hard to climb the corporate ladder? Of course, the higher you go, the more money you make, the greater prestige you will have, the higher social status you will have. But then, climbing higher comes with greater responsibilities, right? Yes, you're going to spend more time, more energy in your work because you are planning to climb the corporate ladder. So is it right or is it wrong to climb the corporate ladder? Nothing wrong, my dear friends. Nothing wrong with climbing the corporate ladder. If the Lord has given us the ability, given us the talent to climb the corporate ladder, let's climb it. If we don't climb, it means that we are not making use of the talents that the Lord has given to us. We can climb rightfully, but only up to a point. Only up to a point. And beyond that point, my dear friends, you might not be glorifying the name of the Lord. You know why? Beyond that point, you would be just laboring excessively for the meat that perishes. Nothing wrong with laboring for the meat that perishes. It is wrong only if you labor excessively for it, for the meat that perishes. Nothing wrong with climbing the corporate ladder. But if you overdo it, my dear friends, you overdo it, then you are laboring excessively. And that is not glorifying to the Lord. And that is what is forbidden by the one true living God. So all of us, my dear friends, have to sit down honestly before the Lord and ask whether or not we have been laboring excessively for the meat that perishes, something that the Lord forbids. Then remember also whatever position you arrive at. Whatever money that you make on this earth, my dear friends, are only temporal. All these are meat that are going to perish. Yes, they will perish in time. Now let us say that you succeed in building a very huge business empire. You think that empire is going to last forever? No, my dear friends, it's not. It may last for a long time. The business empire might outlive you that you built up, but in time it will perish. Yes, it will. All right, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, your business empire will perish. Even if you, say, are the builder of, let's say, a great city, maybe a city like Sydney, for example. You own lots of things in Sydney. You own lots of assets. You are the one who drives the economy of the city of Sydney. You've been responsible for building up the city. But friends, will that city perish someday? Yes, it will perish. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, all will perish. All the things on the earth will perish. They will all be burnt up. My dear friends, all these things are meat that perishes. Or, if you die before the Lord returns, remember this elementary truth. Yes, this truth. You can't escape from this truth. Naked you came into this world, and for sure, naked you are going to leave this world. For sure. So all the things that you build, all the assets that you have collected and accumulated, my dear friends, when you are breathing your last breath on this earth, all these things will be slipping through your fingers. They are going to be going out from the clefts of your hands. Yes, they are like assets that have perished. Isn't it true? You're not going to have them forever. So they are like assets that have perished. Now what else do people labor for that will perish? People labor very hard to live well. Yes, they do. They want to live in nice houses. They want to live in the nicest localities. They want to drive nice cars. Again, let us recognize that these assets are meat that perishes. In what sense? In the sense that your enjoyment of it is only short-lived. Your enjoyment of them is going to perish. The day will come when you are too old to enjoy all these things that you have. For example, when you were younger, you say, I want to live in a big house. So you go live in a big house. Now when you grow older, you say, wow, this house, so hard to maintain, man. Yeah, so hard. Yes, a lot of work has to be done to maintain this house. It's such a burden for me to live in this house. There is no more joy living in that house. Now, understand this truth. Yeah, you think about it, it's true. Your assets are only your assets if you are able to enjoy them. True or false? Very true. Yes, so you live in that big house. You're not able to enjoy living in that house. Is that house your asset? No longer, my dear friends. Yes, your house is no better than an asset that has perished. Let's understand this truth. Then from the practical standpoint, what is the point of laboring so hard to live so well? When you lose the joy of living because you have to live out your life working very, very hard. Working your guts out to earn enough money to service the mortgage loan that you have taken for you to purchase the house. Right? And you work very, very hard, and the stress and the strains of repaying the loan really kill the joy of living in such a house. Having no joy living in such a house makes the house not worth living in. It's true. No joy. You work very hard. You can't enjoy the house. So the house is not worth living in. Actually, you might as well not have it, because it is no better than having a house that has perished. Because you have to work so hard to live in that house. So what's the point of having that house? It's like a house that has perished. Isn't it true? Now you think about it. Then there are those who labor hard for recreational and for adventurous experiences. Some work very, very hard to save up enough money to make their trip around the world when they retire. So they labor excessively. Nothing wrong in laboring, I said before, but they labor excessively to have that enjoyable experience. But understand that truth, that experience is only an experience. You know what an experience is? An experience is only an experience. True? Yes. And it is registered in the mind. But friends, when your mind goes because of age, so goes the experience. You forget about the experience. So the Lord says, labor not for the meat that perishes. You understand now? Labor not for the meat that perishes, the meat that satisfies your temporal wants. Then there are those who labor for fame and glory. Athletes would labor for labor to win a gold medal at the Olympic Games. What do heroes labor for? Heroes labor for their names to be registered in history and to be remembered. Now, what do actors strive for? As actors who strive to win the Oscars, right? Yes, if they can be remembered as winning Oscars, then they will be great actors. Now, a few days ago, I read in the Time magazine an interview that was conducted with a very, very famous actor. Now, this actor had won 2 Oscar awards in his acting career, and right now he's at the sunset of his acting career. Now, the question is, do the glory and fame of his Oscar performances last? Remember, he was seeking for fame and glory, seeking for Oscar awards. But the question is, do the fame and glory of his Oscar performance last? The answer is no. People today don't even remember which of his performances won him his Oscars. And I'm sure very many, many people do not even remember that he has ever won an Oscar. And that's the fact. And sure, during the days when he's won his Oscars, people will remember, people will praise him, and his glory will be very, very well recognized. But friends, that glory has already faded as far as he is concerned. And then he was asked this very telling question. The interviewer asked him, "Is it true that you do not even know where your Oscar trophies are kept in your house?" You know what the answer was? Yes, it's true. So, supposed to be things that was very, very glorious for him. But today, he doesn't even know where his trophies are kept. Someday, of course, they will be discovered. And they will probably be discovered by his sons or his grandsons. And when they get hold of them, you know what they will do with them? Auction them off. That's what they will do. Now, it is true, friends. Earthly fame and glory are meat that perishes and do not endure unto everlasting life. So, my dear friends, if you are laboring for fame and for glory in whatever field, whether it be in the academic field, sports field, business field, medical field, whatever, remember this truth. All these things that you are laboring for are nothing but meat that perishes. Yes, they perish. Then there are those who are very responsible parents who labor very hard to bring up their children. Is it good or bad to labor hard to bring up your children? Of course it is good. But what I'm afraid to say is that very often they labor very, very hard only for meat that perishes for their children. They labor hard. Labor hard to provide well for them. That's good. Labor hard to provide them with a good education. That's good. They want to prepare them for life, which is good. But friends, what I very often see that is lacking is that they do not prepare them well for spiritual life. They do not prepare them well for life for eternity. They do not prepare them for life after life on this earth. My dear friends, labor not for the meat that perishes, but for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. Teach your children the gospel. Make that your number one objective. Teach them the gospel. Bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ when they are young. Train them to walk in the path of righteousness. Help them to understand the real meaning of life. Prepare them for eternity. Teach them to labor for meat that does not perish. And what must you do? Most of all, my dear friends, of course you must set them the example. You yourself must be striving for meat that does not perish. Yes, you set them the example if you want to teach them. Now, what is commanded by the Lord? That's my number two point. What is commanded by the Lord? It is to labor for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. Yes, that's what we must do. Labor for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. We are to labor. And as we said, to labor means to work excessively. To work excessively for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. Some might want to soften this word and say, no, you actually cannot interpret the word labor to mean to work excessively. If you did that, you're almost teaching salvation by works. So you cannot teach, cannot interpret that word to mean to work excessively. But friends, you find that in other instances in the Word of God, very, very strong, powerful action words are being made use of to express the obtaining of salvation. Now, for example, the Lord says, strive! Strive to enter into the gates of heaven. Now, is that a powerful word, powerful action word? Yes, it is. Is the Lord teaching salvation by words? No. But he says, you strive to enter into the gates of heaven. And then he says, repent. Except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Is repent a very strong action word? It's a very powerful word. You turn from your sins, you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a very powerful action word. But that does not mean that the Lord is teaching salvation by works. No, my dear friends, salvation is never by works, but by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, but it is very, very true that we have to strive. For many people, it is true that we have to strive in to get into the gates of heaven. For example, before we came to believe, for many of us, we have great struggles, right? Do you remember that? We struggle against, we struggle to get ourselves out of the mastery of sin. Isn't it true? And we struggle to get away from the attractions of the world. We struggle against unbelief. And then there came a day when we said, yes, Lord, you're right. I'll enter. I want to trust you as Lord and Savior. And, but there was a hard struggle. As it were, we strove to enter into the kingdom of God. So, the word labor being interpreted to work excessively is absolutely correct. Nothing wrong with that interpretation. Now the question is, how do we labor? How do we labor? We are to labor excessively for the meat that endures unto everlasting life. We are to labor by asking. We are to labor by seeking. We are to labor by knocking. We are to labor by praying. Can we say that we have prayed enough that we don't need to labor? My dear friends, we haven't prayed enough. Yes, the truth is our prayer is not persevering. Not persevering enough. We do not desire enough to have the results of our prayer. Our faith is not enough. Our stamina is not enough. Our prayer is not unceasing enough. We tire very easily and we give up easily. Friends, the truth is we don't even begin to labor to pray, let alone labor excessively in prayer. But we must labor, my dear friends, labor excessively in spiritual things, because this is commanded by the Lord. The Lord says, labor for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. How else do we labor? We labor by reading His Word, by applying His Word to our life. Can we say, my dear friends, that we have read enough of His Word and that we have applied enough of His Word to our life? The truth is no, we have not labored enough. The Word of God is an absolutely bottomless treasure chest. No matter how we dig, we can never get to the bottom of this treasure. But friends, we have barely scratched the surface. We have not labored enough, my dear friends, to read His Word and to apply His Word to our lives. Now, we are commanded to labor for the meat that does not perish, but endureth unto everlasting life. So the question is, what is this meat that we are to labor for? What is this meat? Now, this meat comprises the mercy and the grace of our God. This is the meat that we are to labor for, the mercy and the grace of God. We are to labor for to obtain more and more of the mercy of God. How we need His mercy. How we need to labor to obtain His mercy. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to deal with us according to our sins, were to deal with us according to His righteousness, where do we stand, my dear friends? According to our sins and according to His righteousness, where do we stand? We'll perish if the Lord deals with us in that manner. But thank God, how does He deal with us? He deals with us according to His mercy. How kind, how gracious. And we need His mercy every day. You see, I'm sure all of us have the experience of that, like that of the great apostle Paul. Remember Paul said, the good that I will do, I do not. The evil that I will not do, that I will do. So like Paul, every day we will be doing lots of evil that we choose not to do. How we need God's mercy. How we need Him to forgive us of the evils that we commit every day. And aren't we very, very grateful to the Lord that He is so merciful that we can come to His mercy seat and rest on this assurance. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Friends, do you not see how merciful He is? Do you not think we need this mercy? Yes, we need to labor hard for this mercy. And how we need to labor for His grace? Not that we can earn His grace, because if we can earn His grace, then it's no longer grace. But friends, this grace is freely given to us. But every day we really have to struggle with ourselves, to open ourselves to receive this grace that God wants to pour down upon us. It is we that is the problem. We need to open up ourselves to receive this grace that comes from the one true living God. And how, my dear friends, every day we need to open our hearts to God's mighty Holy Spirit, to allow His Holy Spirit to fill us so that we will show forth the grace of bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. We need to labor, open ourselves for the Lord to fill us so that this grace of having the fruit of the Holy Spirit might be expressed by us. And the more of this fruit we show, the more Christ-like we become. Then the fruit of the Spirit, my dear friends, is indeed the fruit that endures. Yes, it counts for eternity. This fruit endures because it counts for eternity. One day before the judgment seat of Christ, it is not how many degrees you have that is important. It is not how many houses you own that is important. It is not how many trips around the world that you make that is important. It is not how well you teach your children how to kick a football or teach your children how to play the piano, how many times you brought your children to the swimming pool, how many records your children have broken. That is important. How well they pass exams. My dear friends, these are not the most important things when you appear before the Lord. Yes, these are meat that does not endure unto everlasting life. All these are meats that will perish, friends. What counts when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ will be the fruit that we are born for Him. The fruit of the Spirit. How much love do we show? How much peace do we have? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. How much of these fruits do we show? How Christ-like have we been on this earth? Now, these are the things that count. These are things that are referred to as meat that endures unto everlasting life. These are the things that count. Finally, I'd like us to see the promise in this verse. Alright, my third point. Verse 27 again. Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath got the Father's seal. The Son of Man, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, will give you that meat that endureth unto everlasting life. The Son of Man shall give you that meat that endureth unto everlasting life. And that is the promise made by Him. If we labor for that meat, He will surely give us that meat. And He is well able to give us that meat. Yeah. What we hungry souls long for, and what we should be laboring for, my dear friends, He promises to give to us. He promises to give us His mercy. He promises to give us His grace. He promises to cause us to be more and more Christ-like. Provided what? Provided we labor for this meat. You don't labor for it, you don't get it. Of course, the Lord wants to pour this down upon us, to give us these blessings. But friends, you don't labor for them, you don't get them. Yes, we must labor for the meat that does not perish, that endureth unto everlasting life. And will the Lord withhold these good things from us, these graces that He promises us, the mercy that He promises us? Will He withhold these good things from us? No, He will not. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now then, I'd like us to see the significance of these words. Yes, the last part of verse 27, it says here, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto Him. For Him hath got the Father's seal. For Him hath got the Father's seal. I'd like us to see the significance of this word. What it means is this, that in the eternal counsel of God, God here refers to the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. In the triune council, yes, the Lord Jesus Christ has been sealed, commissioned to be the giver of everlasting life. Now, legally, a document has to be stamped according to the laws of the country to be valid or to have authority. And once it's stamped, once it's sealed, The document has the authority of the state or of the country. Now, in the eternal counsel of God, the Lord Jesus Christ has been sealed, has been stamped, as it were, commissioned to be the giver of everlasting life, the giver of this meat that does not perish but endureth unto everlasting life. Will he not give us this meat? The answer is yes, because in the eternal counsel, he has been sealed to be the life giver, has been sealed to be this meat giver, the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. Surely, my dear friends, he will give us the grace and the mercy that we are very much in need, we are very much in need of. Provided, of course, we what? We labor for that meat. Don't forget, the Lord says, labor for that meat that does not perish. We must labor for it. Next, I'd like us to see in this promise that he made, how freely he offers this meat. Now remember, the Lord knew the hearts of those who came and sought him that day. He knew many were seeking for the meat that endureth not forever, but the meat that perishes. They were all looking for that. They were looking for physical meat. They were miraculously fed by the Lord Jesus Christ the previous day, and now they were coming for more meat, more food. So, were they sincere or insincere seekers? Of course not sincere, alright? The Lord knew those who were sincere, those who were insincere. The Lord knew exactly what their motives were. In spite of all this, the Lord made his promise to them, to give them the meat. To whom? To just 1, 2, 3, 4, or all of them? The offer is made to all of them, not just to some, to all of them. Friends, what does that tell us about the offer of the gospel? The offer of the gospel is made to all, not just to a select few, not just to the elect, made to all. Yes, whether people are genuine seekers or not genuine seekers, the offer of the gospel is made to all. Christ died for all on the cross of Calvary. His precious blood was shed for the sins of the world. Yes, his precious blood is sufficient for the whole world, but efficient only for the elect, for the select few. But the offer is made to all. So, my dear friends, this offer of salvation is effective or effectual or efficacious to all those who truly labor for the meat that endureth unto everlasting life. If you are laboring for that meat, the Lord will surely give it to you. So, in conclusion, what are you laboring for today? The Lord forbids us to labor excessively for the meat that perishes. Now, as we said, this meat could be something that is legitimate. It is not necessarily bad. But it is still meat that perishes. What is forbidden by the Lord is for us to labor excessively for this meat. Now, what should we be laboring for? My dear friends, we should all be laboring for the meat that does not perish, that endureth unto everlasting life. Principally, what should we be laboring for? What does this meat comprise? It comprises His grace and His mercy. These are the things that we should be going for. We should labor for labor for the meat that does not perish. We should labor for the filling of God's mighty Holy Spirit. We should labor for the showing forth the fruit of the Spirit. And we should be laboring for the to be more and more Christ-like. These are things that we should be looking for, should be laboring for. And think of the sure promise made by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, this sure promise is made to... Yes, he will surely make this this promise that he made to us, my dear friends, is a sure promise, the promise of giving us this meat. Now, why is this a sure promise? Now, this is a sure promise because he is the one true living God. And in the eternal counsel of God, the Lord Jesus Christ has already been sealed to be the giver of everlasting life, the giver of this meat that endureth unto everlasting life. If we labor for this meat, he will surely give it to us, because he has promised to give it to us. My dear friends, are you laboring for this meat? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercies, Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for this offer of this meat. Lord, we pray that we may all labor for this meat. Lord, we pray that we may work excessively for this meat. Labor hard for it. This meat that endures unto everlasting life. Even your mercy and your grace. O Lord, we pray that your people may not go after meat that perishes, but your people may have their priority right. So Lord, we pray that today, if there is anyone still outside your kingdom who is still laboring for the meat that perishes, my dear friends, we pray that you will cause them to set their priority right by seeking you, by laboring for the meat that endures unto everlasting life. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.